Space Out is really exploring the joy, you know, of discovering something for the first time, the pleasure of exploration, and very much like when you're a child going to a new place or the mountains for the first time or the beach for the first time.
It's only been a few days since shelter-in-place orders have gone into effect in cities all over the world as the coronavirus pandemic begins to escalate. VR arcades have closed, Dreamscape Immersive closed its locations in the U.S. and Dubai, That Goes for the Void and LA's 2-Bit Circus. Many VR startups have also closed. But the sudden requirement for many populations to stay inside could present an opportunity for some VR platforms as people increase their usage of devices. And as for creators, forced to stay in might dovetail with the need to write and produce. One of those creators, just off a very successful exhibit at the Sundance Film Festival in January, is Pierre Friquet. His immersive experience was immersive in every sense of the word. Spaced Out is a VR film in which the user floats up to the moon, and the user has floating sensations because they wear a waterproof headset, they wear a swimsuit, and have the experience floating in a swimming pool. Spaced Out is an homage to the Apollo moon landing, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and Georges Méliès' 1902 film, A Trip to the Moon, the first sci-fi movie ever made. We talked to Pierre Friquet from his flat in Paris. Hey there, Pierre. How's it going?
Hi. Good. All right. How are you?
Hanging in there. I'm wondering, you know, what the atmosphere has been like in Paris the past day or so.
Just, very difficult. I mean, just in general, there's a lot of, first of all, panic, but also some irresponsibility, and still people are hanging out. But since today, the lockdown has been tougher, and the military has come, and the police are patrolling on the streets to maintain really complete shutdown. So it's a very, very strange feeling. My family is actually affected. My stepmother might have the virus, and maybe my father too. So it's a bit strange.
Do you think the effects of the pandemic will shut down production over the next couple of months, or can you still work on projects?
Yeah, the short answer is yes and no at the same time. Let's say that a particular type of content and workflow and way of producing and funding definitely affected, you know, and since VR is, you know, still accessible on it by going to a certain place, you know. So on one hand, as a VR user, I mean, like consuming content and watching stuff, actually VR is a great liberation way to connect to people, you know, especially with this chat room, social VR experiences where you impersonate an avatar and can talk to other people. And being locked down in my flat and being in Paris, like in big cities, that way is great. I can do also exercises, and I think VR that way is really useful and pertinent, and as a medium, you know, and different compared to the other media, like watching TV and playing video games, where you can really exercise and practice and maintain, you know, physical fitness, you know. So the game Creed, it's a boxing game, or Beat Saber, can really be a valuable experience, you know, and that's why VR can be fantastic. I can see the difficult part right now is like only to another VR person I can clearly chat and have, you know, virtual rooms and really interact. So for example, I'm writing a script with someone who actually designed a VR social experience for cultural artistic content. So we're working on a new project, and I think we're going to work together, you know, in this space. And the last thing also on my practice, I think mobile AR can be great technology actually for people to, so as a creator, you know, I can work on AR, you know, through the mobile device. And since everyone has it, you know, I think people are going to be quite interested, you know, and curious, more curious to explore the possibility of a mobile AR. And since, you know, you're stuck at home.
Let's talk about where VR, AR, all the terms and all the meanings of these terms, where they are right now. I wonder if you could just give us a sort of a breadth of what the various media under this umbrella of XR or mixed reality or whatever you want to, immersive media, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
What are the various terms and what are the various things they do?
So VR and AR, I mean, on one side, there is the industry, there are actually companies and people pushing it. And the other side is, you know, the art form. And you know, to answer your question, pre-coronavirus, let's say, VR was actually doing well, was regaining a lot of strength. The sales, the really good sales of the Oculus Quest has been really good news for everyone, for VR creators, producers, investors. And even though they focus on gaming, they show that there are different uses and of like fitness and sports. So VR is going slowly, basically, and it's going towards, but it's not dead. It's going towards something, but slower than we expected. And last week I signed up to an alpha test, I think, of the new Facebook social VR experience. That's going to be the next big thing. There are already existing platforms. They have their own legitimacies and own different uses. But I think VR is tending to become more practical, more useful. It's already quite out there and adopted, you know, by the industry, by the education, you know, by just the B2B kind of market. The B2C will take more time and will need to have maybe theme parks, you know, and it's a natural evolution. So that's VR. AR, people are interested because of, well, one side is mobile AR and then there's the headset AR. Mobile AR is actually kind of doing well, but not in an expected way. Like if you take in account the interactive filters for a platform like Snapchat and Instagram, you know, actually we see a boom of that. I mean, the young people actually are more interested in AR. They have adopted this technology. And on the other hand, in B2B market, AI is quite useful in many aspects. So HoloLens 2 is out there, but they are 6 months late because of the the tax wars between US and China. And there's many stuff being produced there in China. And also many, they use, you know, rare minerals in the headset. So from China, so it became problematic, but we hope, I mean, Microsoft, I think, is doing a good job, or had done a really good job with the HoloLens 1 for industries, and Magic Leap is not in good shape, but we also hope that Apple will, in 3 years from now, will come with a really a killer product, and again, it's slower than we expected, people are more cautious than, you know, a couple of years ago. It's a slow form, and I would say that even with a post-coronavirus analysis, VR has a lot of potential because, you know, people will be stuck at home. There's many teleconferences, many use of VR we can use, you know, fitness and social aspect. We can do it with the form. We just need, you know, more influencers. We need more films. We need more media taking care of it, you know.
Well, that makes me think of this point, and that is the rules are different for different media. It almost seems like the rules are different even between 360, VR, AR. Maybe even comes down to individual projects that can have their own rules in terms of storytelling. What are the rules that work? What are some of the rules that don't work that need to be rewritten?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually. That was a fascinating part of this creative process where everything I thought I knew about VR, it doesn't work, it doesn't apply the same way. Well, if you talk about rules and you imply, I mean, language, and then, you know, the content itself needs to be crafted in a certain way. But I also would like to bring the importance of the user's experience, you know, and the relation of the body with the technology. And when you're underwater, the water itself has this quality of being relaxing, and everyone has his own individual relation with water. So just definitely camera movement helps. If, let's say, like 360 degree underwater shots, you know, we assume that will be a great experience to watch, you know, dolphins swimming around you, you know. So that's kind of content you see in normal VR, 360 degree. But underwater, with the aquatic headsets, you know, the VR headsets, it's not as impressive, you know. Yes, it does something. There's some correlation between the color of the water and the swimming pool, and then the sea where it was shot. But it's not as exciting. And the best rules is to recreate everything in 3D and have a lot of camera movement, which usually you don't in normal 360 degree VR content. Another part is to be really long and to take time to have quite few shots, to be more environmental based, in the sense that, you know, the space that you reproduce have something to explore, to say. Not only underwater shots, even done in 3D, will work, but stuff like related to weightlessness or flying. So there's not only many content to explore in aquatic VR experience. The rules that I came up with, that there are different sensations when the camera kind of track in compared to the camera which tracks out. So that's it. When you make the camera track out, you feel like actually you're pulled up, you know, like you almost feel that there's a rope pulling you, like you feel your body is actually being pulled. And when you go, when the camera goes down, you feel like you're falling. And that's actually a great effect, but you should not use it all the time. And like Mozart, you know, in his symphony, Mozart always tried to compose weak moments, you know, to have low beats, you know, to have pauses and breaks, so that, you know, you can have climatic moments. And so there are tricks like that. Sound, the voices are very important. Bass doesn't really work. Piano works, but so that certain instruments like drums or beats, so the music with beat don't really work underwater. So there are like few keys elements. Yeah, I can go on and on, but yeah.
The ballast goggles that you use, what is that platform based on?
So it's a proprietary technology, their own operating system. They just use just a Samsung, the latest, and because it's just best screen and pixel ratio there, and precision power is really good. And but they also design, you know, the software, I mean, the operating system as well as the software. And, you know, the importance is actually in the details. They created their own optics. If you look at the headset, there's a space between the screen and the face mask. I mean, and the so water goes inside, and that's actually the water acts like a lens. So ballast looks simple, but actually that's the power of it. Actually, it's very complex in details.
So tell us, what is Spaced Out all about?
So Spaced Out is really exploring the joy, you know, of discovering something for the first time, the pleasure of exploration, and very much like when you're a child and going to a new place, or the mountains for the first time, or the beach for the first time. And in that spirit, you know, the red thread is the moon landing. So we actually hear the real voices of the Apollo 11 mission, and we have the astronauts, you know, archive the audio document, you know, telling us, you know, different stages where they are. So it's basically a trip. So Space Out is a trip from Earth to the moon, and then actually beyond and within.
It was inspired by that that French film in the early 20th century, The Trip to the Moon. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, it's true. So the seed of the project really started like a really long time ago when I discovered VR for the first time, and I tried a VR headset in 1993 when I was 7 years old, and the same week I discovered the film A Trip to the Moon, 1902, the first sci-fi film ever made, and created by Georges Méliès, who is the father of VFX, come from magic. And Space Art is an homage, is also actually a mashup as well. It's not only taking inspiration, but just try to emulate that spirit of what Georges Méliès did with the medium of cinema, and basically follow, narratively is also following different in the same way, but just to create the same sense of magic. So that was the main inspiration for Space Out. It started being very faithful first adaptation, and then I took my own artistic liberty and I explored the different aspects of the moon and the representation of the moon. the actual experience of space art is an experience, you know. I mean, it's very hard actually to just narrate it and talk about it without emphasizing on the user's experience, you know. So before going to the water, the expectation, the maybe sometimes the doubts, you know, how it's going to be like, and then the excitement, of course, to put the headset on, and then the kind of sometimes the struggle to be comfortable and to find a spot when you are floating and being completely still. When you try the experience, you really get a sense of weightlessness. That's the prior feeling that I wanted to explore, and that's why I use VR in the water. And space art takes place on the moon for the most part, and it's really about, you know, taking the body somewhere else, you know, somehow reconnecting the mind with the body, in a sense that when you come out of the water, when you after removing the headset, when people, you know, come back and walk again, they actually, I want to feel gravity again. I want them to feel connected and to that, you know, energy and the law of nature. I mean, to this aspect of being a human that we take for granted, and that any astronauts actually will tell you after coming back on Earth, you know, like the joy of walking again and feeling Earth gravity.
Right. How did this come together for you, though, creatively? Because, okay, you've got the basic action here is that people... Well, they came to the Marriott there in Park City, right, in the pool,
yeah,
in the Nautitorium area or whatever. So they get in a pool to simulate weightlessness, very much the way NASA trains astronauts.
Yeah.
And so now they have the sense of weightlessness. They've got waterproof goggles on, and now they're floating from Earth up to the moon, and they have all these visions and that sort of thing. How did you technically put all this together? And when did you think about actually using the pool? Was that an early idea with this as well?
So first, I mean, it's also started with a encounter with Ando Shah, who is the co-founder of Ballast, a startup behind this technology. And for him, it was a long dream. And I mean, he wanted to use VR and underwater and explore that aspect because he was afraid of water for a long time. And he became a designer and joined different companies at Silicon Valley. And we met a long time ago, and we collaborated on many VR projects together. About 2.5 years ago, he started creating Ballast, and he told me about it. And then all this idea of paying a tribute to a trip to the moon, and yeah.
You know, amid the pandemic now, though, it probably... You know, it probably seems a long time ago that you were at Sundance, you know, with things suddenly changing. I'm wondering, what was the reception like to your VR film Spaced Out? Because it got a lot of buzz.
Yeah, exactly. That's the right word. And actually phenomenal. It's very rare, or maybe for my artistic career, that, you know, you get such overwhelming and unanimous response. And I'm not even exaggerating there. It's just a very genuine discovery of the medium first, so people have, you know, interested to try VR in different way, but just also the experience itself, and just the faces, the look, and it was interesting also to have them, because it's very intimate experience, you know, like you meet these people, you meet the people are going to watch your experience before and after, and they're in swimsuits, and so are you, so there's always a very personal connection, and I'm so pleased and so ecstatic. I try to remember that feeling, you know, like for hundreds of people saying how great your work is, and so, I mean, that's special for me. And after such a long, I mean, it was really great, because after 2 years actually of hustling, struggling to push this project, which, you know, everyone thought it was crazy and so unusual, and so it's been very hard and challenging to get finance, and I actually hardly got, and until the moment where I say, okay, like, let me do this project on my own, and it was such a, yeah, I felt very proud, and the reception has been amazing, and there's quite a lot of opportunities that might come up, but I don't know, to be honest, right now at this point, things have changed.
Well, hang in there. Again, thank you so much, Pierre. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, really lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Pierre Friquet's VR experience, Spaced Out, was one of the hits of the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. He's planning on making Spaced Out a permanent installation for museums, planetariums, resorts, places like that. This is the Tech Barometer Podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. You can find more podcasts and print stories about technology at The Forecast. Just go to The Forecast by Nutanix.com.